Vaigurji ka khalsa, Vaigurji ki fateh.
Good evening, everyone. Or good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you're listening to this from.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Sikh Mum, otherwise known as Navroop Kaur.
And I'm Sikh Dad, otherwise known as Gurpreet Singh.
And today, you are joining our first ever podcast.
Yes, our very first podcast. Some of you guys have been messaging us, asking us to get with the times and get on board with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are now. So join us on our journey and see where we go to.
Yeah, so today, as I said, it's our first podcast, so I think it's really important that, our subscribers get to know a little bit about us. So it might be a good idea if we do a little bit of intro to ourselves and our background.
Yeah, what we are, where we come from and where we're heading, and talk about what's important to us, what we're passionate about. Some of you guys that follow us obviously know that we're passionate about our faith and we're passionate about parenting. So we're going to be talking about some of those challenges, some of the beauties of those, and how we move forward with those.
Yeah. Do you want to kickstart a little bit about yourself, dear?
So those of you that have been following me would know that I started Sikh Dad on Instagram for about 18 months ago now. The reason behind that and how that all came about was I was looking at myself, trying to think about who I was and look at that identity behind myself. And I looked at myself as resonating with being a Sikh and being a dad, trying to be a Sikh every day and also trying to be a dad. So I thought that seemed to be perfect for me.
Kind of just fitted into place for you, didn't it?
Absolutely, because I wasn't trying to come across as somebody I wasn't.
Mm.
So, and also I didn't want to come across as the finished article.
Yeah, because I think it's been quite an upheaval battle for you, hasn't it? Kind of finding yourself as a father.
Yeah.
Because you were quite young when you become a dad.
Yeah, quite young when I was husband.
Yeah.
Before that, we got married. So
yeah, so you learnt a lot over time, and it was just about kind of sharing that. And we could see that there were other kind of young males who were becoming husbands, becoming fathers, and they were struggling, and there was putting pressure on their wives and their partners. So it was one of those kinds of things that just fell into place where you sharing, putting yourself out there and sharing your battles may help other people, right?
And as you know as well, I was, because I was talking, conversing with you, you could see that I was trying to do something and trying to search for something at the time where I could put my energy into.
Mm.
And like I said, this kind of fell into place. It came about, and I was looking at myself as well, and I was looking at other people, especially in our Sikh Gurdwara, our place of faith, where we go to regularly, and we go to programs around the country. I was looking around at fathers, and they were playing such a pivotal role in their children's lives. They were absolutely at the forefront, and this hasn't always been the case. And I was looking around, and I thought, I really have to try to do something around this. So initially how I started off was I went through my whole contact list of dads that I knew and messaged them to say, let's do something. The initial idea I had was just making videos, and that was also a journey as well.
Having like various people vlogging, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how it started off. And I had never done any editing before either.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was staying up to all hours doing editing, which was great fun. I haven't done any since.
You learned a lot though.
yeah, I did learn a lot on that. So that's how it kind of started. But then afterwards, I realised as the journey developed that people wanted to know about a personal experience and a journey more than a kind of general spin on things. But obviously, I still try my best to showcase all Sikh dads, because we are all one, and we're all facing the same day-to-day challenges.
I think it's been really successful because nobody really talks about, and just this is generally just like in life, in society, people don't really talk about that much the male position. The male position is just usually when it comes to the household, seen as the head of the house, or in broken down families, the one that's left, or you know what it might be, but no one really talks about the deep down challenges that men go through in becoming husbands, becoming fathers, and the upbringings that they've had, and how that's affected you know, what kind of a adult they go on to be as well. So I think that people responded to it because of that, and people could resonate a lot with, and
especially not from our community, yeah, as well.
Absolutely.
And that's why I believe I've had so much support from everybody out there universally, and especially from our community, because they're not used to hearing this. And this is again a part of my journey when I was searching around and looking for something to do for dads. I was looking at so many dads out there sharing their stories, but there wasn't anyone from our side. There was, I think as well, after even just from the Asian community, there was hardly anyone. Now there's obviously a few, which is great. Mm-hmm. But when I was looking around, I was pretty sure that there would be somebody out there. That's why I actually was quite fortunate to get the name Seek Dad, because there wasn't anybody else there.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to put you on the spot a bit and ask you, in your journey of doing Seek Dad, and kind of when you first were starting off, how you felt about what your thought process was about putting yourself out there and showing your mistakes and your weaknesses. Because, you know, people on social media, you see that, you know, they kind of portray themselves to be this perfect, happy, you know, everything's hunky-dory. But, I mean, you're quite open with challenges that you have and mistakes that you make. And I'm just wondering, like, what your thought process was around allowing yourself to be vulnerable like that on this kind of open platform.
And to be honest with that, it, from talking to some dads initially about this, it kind of come about, and I got some really good advice early on from somebody that was talking about parenting, and he was saying to me that he was saying it's important that you don't show it as being perfect, but you show it as being real. So that really helped me early on, because I kept thinking to myself, it's all about being real, and it's all about whatever I'm putting out there, my intentions need to be good about them. So it's all about that intention and the purpose behind it. And later on, obviously, you introduced me to Simply On Purpose on Instagram, and I looked at everything that she was posting, and everything she was posting was with a purpose. So whether I'm posting about something positive or something negative, there always has to be a purpose around that for me. So that means that I don't have to post something every day, like I was doing before. And it's not about the quantity anymore, it's about trying to produce that quality now, that where there's something that needs posting and a message that needs to be put out there, that I try to do that by sharing those positives and those weaknesses. So obviously the followers would have seen the post from 2 days ago that and the circumstance that we had. And again, with that, I mulled over that. Should I be talking about this? But then again, I can't be putting the positives out there and not showing the other realities.
And that, those other realities are actually where I think people will probably get more value anyway. I think it's...
So how about yourself? So obviously, I know from my experience of yourself that you've been so passionate about parenting and women's issues for many, many years.
Yeah.
And you've been doing talks and you've been supporting people offline for a long time. But now you've also, I've kind of won you over, I believe, and got you to rebrand yourself, and other people, everyone have been saying it to you too. You should be becoming Seek Mum.
Yeah.
So how did all that come about?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't born into Sikhi. I mean, like, I was born into a family who, you know, have from a Punjabi background, but I wasn't exposed to any practicing Sikhs. And so when I came into Sikhi and embraced my faith, I really, really felt that there was just this real lack of presence from women. And it would be quite hard for me to kind of find someone to talk to. I mean, there was always people there, people that have supported me. But if you would go to like camps, it would be very male dominated, who was standing on the stage and speaking about Sikhi. And it doesn't mean that it's because women weren't qualified to do it. It's just maybe because they didn't have the confidence. And so I think that I was just very conscious that because I became a mother very, very soon after embracing Sikhi and getting married, that I needed my children to see that there is this strong presence of strong Sikh women around them. And so then that kind of just led on to the creation of Cause Corner, doing talks, doing camps, doing different kinds of events and retreats for women. And like you said, you know, supporting women, you know, hair issue is a huge thing for women, and being able to be there for them for that. You know, women, a lot of women suffer with issues when they get married with in-laws, and you know, I've always been really open about, you know, I suffer from PCOS. I've always been really open about that. I've suffered with issues with my in-laws. I've been very open about that, and so it's very similar to you. So when you're putting yourself out there as Sikh dad and the troubles and the challenges that you've had as a father, I'm doing the same thing but just different. I'm just talking about the challenges that I'm having as a woman and as a Sikh, and then just paying it forward by, you know, giving other people someone to talk to. So what I didn't really necessarily have when I came into Sikhi, I'm trying to give that to other people.
But clearly there's a need for it, because we see just from our own community, women not having that voice and having that forum.
Yeah, you so can. I mean, you can see it. You can see it in everyday Gurdwara. Now, when you go to like Gurmukh camps, which is like retreats where young people and old people go, and you know, they spend the night there, and then they do meditation and singing of hymns, and you know, learning discourse, various different things. You do see women having more of a role in the forefront, not as much as the males, but there is there.
There is that exposure.
It is, but it's in a different circle. So, but what I would compare that to is if you go to any other temple and you walk in there, it will be male
dominated
everywhere, and so you know there. That is a big sign about how far behind we are when it comes to our religion, you know, our faith, saying that we are a faith that believes in equality, gender equality. But then the sign, but you know, what we can see with our eyes, what our children can see with their eyes when they walk into a temple, every other temple, that's not there for them. And that embeds in the psyche. So it's really important as mothers that we try to create that kind of framework for the children around what the role of the woman is in Sikhi. And so it's been a long journey, and I've learned lots myself, and I've had falls myself, and I've had highs myself, and yeah, and it's kind of just really organically grown into becoming Sikh mom. I never intended on that, and even when you kind of started Sikh dad, I never ever in a million years even had it in my mind that I would do Sikh mom. But you know, Sikh mom is not about me. That's one thing I really feel and I really love. Sikh mom is about all the Sikh mums.
Yeah.
My content comes from speaking to other Sikh mums, talking to them about their issues, their tribulations, and it's like a collective voice, really.
It's really good that a lot of them are so happy to open up and share things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so there's some people there that don't have the confidence to do that, and so they're happy for me to share experiences, or they'll ask me a question or how to deal with something, and instead of obviously me kind of repeating myself 100 times over, I will just end up just putting a post out. And that's actually what started to happen with you know, my Instagram account. In specifically, people would send me messages because I've read lots of books and I've been doing lots of courses while I've been on maternity leave about you know, behavioral issues with children and things that we've faced with our middle child, who had a lot of behavioral issues. She had her terrible twos, were a crazy time for us. So they would send me messages on Instagram about how they approach this situation, and I didn't want to just send a message over Instagram. So what I started doing was recording videos and sending them to these mums. But then what I found I was doing was I was sending similar messages to various different mums.
Yeah.
So then I was just thought to myself, okay, I'm just going to make a story. I'm going to put it on there, and everybody can get that same message. And so then that's it. Just, and then eventually people just started saying, why don't you just become Sikh Mum? Why don't you just become a blogger? And
you've spoke about some quite interesting topics on those stories as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so recently the Times had put out a statistic that said that, I think it was like 1.7 million or something like that, adults in the UK don't have the literacy skills that they should have. And so then obviously literacy comes from, you know, the language that we use from a young age and the language, you know, just generally around us. So then, you know, I did a story about language and as parents, what language are we using around our children? And, you know, basically just having that kind of consciousness around how we're speaking around our children. If it's positive, is it negative? Are we using profanity or not? So there's things like that. And then when it comes to other things like Christmas and Bundi Shore, which is a celebration that Sikhs celebrate around the Diwali time, yep. There's a lot of mix up between Diwali, which is something that's a celebration that Hindus celebrate, and then Sikhism celebrates Bundi Shore, and a lot of Sikhs don't really know that. And also a lot of Sikhs don't really know that they can celebrate and how they can celebrate Bundi Shore. So it was just telling them really what we do, what I do at home, yeah, with my children. And yeah, so that was a massive response to that.
I think that's the good thing that we tried to do, and we're just telling you this as well, so you know it as well, that we try to just kind of do what we do as a family normally. We don't try to do anything extra. We just try to show you what we're doing,
yeah,
ourselves, and give you guys the options out there to reach out to us and ask us about what we're doing and why we're doing it as well.
Yeah. And that morning when I did the Bundi Shore story, which had, I think that's had the most interaction from followers, had no idea I was going to do that morning. I was going to wrap the kids Bundi Shore presents that morning. And
that's the beauty of it though, is it?
When, yeah, and I literally just woke up and I thought, right, I'm going to share this so other people know that, you know, it's okay to celebrate this, because this, we celebrate other things and we celebrate, you know, other faiths kind of, you know, celebrations that are happening. So why shouldn't we be celebrating these things for our children so they know a bit more about who they are? So yeah, so when, so, you know, in a nutshell, not really, that wasn't in a nutshell, was it? But
no, that was quite a long nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah, so Sikh Mums, just, that's what I love about it the most, is it's just been very organic. It's just kind of grown by itself. And it's not been nurtured really, like consciously by myself. It's just kind of happened. And, you know, we'll see where it goes really. But the key is that I just want to put content out there that people are going to benefit from. Mm. And just be myself, and people can see that how hard it is to be a mother, the things that we have to think about all the time, and how we can really, really impact our children's lives.
So as you was mentioning the struggles that women go through, especially in our own community, that was something that very early on in my journey on Sikh Dad was highlighted. I wasn't expecting to be talking to mothers. I was expecting to be talking to dads initially, but there was a lot of mothers that were reaching out and talking to me about the issues that they were facing in the community.
Mm.
And that really brought it home to me, especially having two daughters myself and yourself in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I was not expecting, those gender norms as well, which was, I was trying to push out there and break through what we were doing as well, through the TV show that we was on, the Share Charity show, where we made that gender norms video.
Mm-hmm.
That was totally on a whim that morning. We recorded it before going to work.
Yeah.
And I was so shocked at the response to that. And it was so positive, because that's exactly what we were trying to break the shackles of, where the man is taking the role in the house and outside. And as we have in our community, we have us looking, people looking at, maybe the elder generation looking at us men taking the forefront and saying, well, where's your wife? Your wife should be taking care of the children. Why is your wife doing overtime? Your wife should be at home doing X, Y, and Z. Why? What's the need for you to be doing these things?
Mm.
So that's the things that we're trying to tackle and deal with.
Yeah, and yeah, it's fascinating actually that you had that kind of response. Especially because you wasn't expecting it. But that's just the beauty of it, really, isn't it?
It's that bias in the community that we all see and we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. That's why I think a lot of people are refreshed by us just talking about these things so openly, and they're saying, thank you for sharing this, thank you for talking about this, because nobody is really. But yeah, I think we are getting better at it now. There's a lot of people out there with a voice now,
yeah,
and things are improving, so we have to acknowledge that, yeah, that things, yeah, are getting better.
Absolutely. And you do see when you go to the Gurdwara now, like when, I know especially when we go to camps and things like that, you do see a lot more active fathers, and where they're allowing their wives to go in and listen to Gitan as opposed to looking after the kids all night, and taking part in talks and other kind of seva as well. So it's really interesting. I just want to go on to talking about how Sikhi has, you know, kind of benefited you and the challenges that you've had when you, you know, first embraced Sikhi.
So, as you know, with myself, Sikhi, from a young age, I had like the form of a Sikh. You could say I had long hair, but from a young age, I wanted to go away from that because I didn't really understand why I was like that, why I was different, why I stood out, etc. So I wanted to just fit in with everybody. So from a young age, I took that decision to not have that form anymore. But we still went to the Gurdwara, place of worship, or every weekend. We were there all the time, and I had some great memories there as a kid, you know, playing football, messing around. So I was very comfortable in that environment. So I wasn't afraid of it growing up. So when the opportunity came for me to come back in that line and learn more about it in my final year at university, where things weren't going really well for me at the time, I was doing the things that people normally do at university, but I wasn't being myself. I wasn't enjoying myself.
Because you were extremely heavy drinker, weren't you?
Yeah, and I guess I was only doing it just to...
unhappiness.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know why I was doing it. And that's why I was quite fortunate that when the opportunity came, that it was very easy to give these things up, because I never really enjoyed them. Right. I was just doing them.
I agree.
For the sake of it. So in my final year, I befriended some Sikhs that were older than me as well. And I looked up to them, respected them. And they mentioned about Sikhi things. They started talking to me and opening my eyes about them. And I said I really respected them. And then they spoke about coming to a Sikhi camp for a week. So there was a lot of students there. Like I said, I wasn't afraid of any of this because I'd grown up in it.
Mm.
And they were like, yeah, why don't you come along? So I just went along. And as I've mentioned on my profile, the story of me coming to Sikhi is also on YouTube as well. Literally, in the blink of an eye, coming into contact with the Sikh Guru, the Shabd, and literally just looking at it for the first moment in my life and taking it in was enough to just change me.
Mm.
And for me to realize that there's actually somebody out there that I've been looking for and searching for, and with that I get the purpose I've been looking for, the aims, the goals, and the belonging to something that I'd been searching for. Just in the, like I said, a blink of an eye.
And I was
ready to just change everything, and I didn't have to give anything up. That was the beauty of it. I didn't have to change. I didn't have to give up drinking. I didn't have to give up all the other things that were keeping me off the path. It just kind of happened. And people were saying to me at the time, why you needed to do this, why do you need to do that? And I just kept saying to them that the feeling I have inside is just being projected on the outside. It's nothing else. I'm not in control of any of it.
Yeah.
And that's really how it was.
Did people understand when you were saying that to them?
Not really, but then later on in life, that's how I realized, because we have this thing when we're changing, we expect everyone else to change.
Yeah.
And we expect everyone else to know what we're talking about. But we're the ones making the change. So we have to acknowledge that. But at the time, you're kind of not fighting people, but you're you know, struggling to get your point across and make them understand.
It's like adolescence, really, isn't it? Because when you're going through puberty or something like that, you are finding yourself in uncharted territory. You're feeling different things. You're experiencing different things. And sometimes it can be very, very hard to communicate that to people. So it's quite similar.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you're going through a change.
Yeah, and then when people don't understand and then they are questioning you, not normally, you know, some people are being a bit spiteful and don't understand, but then, you know, majority of people are just curious to know, like, what has made you kind of do a 180 completely on your life. And so it's not necessarily got, it's not coming from a place, you know, which is negative, but because you are going through all these you don't know how to handle it. And, you know, often, you know, people do say, ask me questions where they say, you know, I'm embracing my faith and my parents don't understand, and I don't, you know, they won't let me do this, they won't let me do that. And I've always said to them, you're the one going through the change, not them.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to make them understand. Absolutely. Through love, through communication, you know, talk to them from the heart about what you're going through. And if they really, really want to understand you, they will.
It's about making them part of the journey. Absolutely, with you as well. We've said that before, haven't we?
Yeah, but yeah, we can naturally, because I think I did quite a similar thing where when I embraced Sikhi, that, you know, I had lots of challenges in my family. You could say that your parents were, you know, kind of practicing. My parents weren't practicing at all, and no one in my family was. And, you know, so I had people coming from all sides asking me what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And I was very, very, I took it very, very offensive when people were questioning me.
Did you feel you had the knowledge at the time to
speak
to them and get your points across?
No.
Because that in itself is a journey as well.
Yeah, it absolutely, because what happened with me was because, like you, you know, I went to India and I went to a gurdwara there, Sis Ganj Gurdwara, if anybody's been in Delhi, that's where Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji, which is the ninth guru, was shaheed. They had their head cut off there. And going to that gurdwara, you know, the way I describe it to people is I walked into that gurdwara one person and I walked out someone else. Because, and so for me, everything was very, like, out of my control. Like you, it was very emotional, it was very mind altering, kind of earth shaking kind of experience. And so when someone, so I didn't know anything about Sikhi, I didn't even know what Nitnem was, but I knew that something had happened to me. So to have people ask me questions and not have the answers, it's like I said, it was really, really hard to kind of articulate to people what I was feeling and why I was going through.
What were the kind of specific challenges that you had?
So I wasn't allowed to wear a turban.
Okay.
Only men wear turban.
Right.
So
how did you deal with that then?
I actually remember the first time I came downstairs. I had been to a camp and I had tied a turban there, and but I never came home with that turban on. I went to another camp in Paris and a Benji tied a turban on me there, and that was a big breakthrough for me because I actually travelled home on the Eurostar with the turban on.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I walked in the house with the turban on. And then there was the third experience was I tied the turban myself at home in my room, and I came downstairs and, you know, my mum just hit the roof, and I was really, really heartbroken because it just felt so natural to wear the turban and it be a part of me. So I remember sitting in the stairs upstairs and having my mum, like, literally just screaming at my dad, no one's going to marry her, no one's going to give her a job, all these kinds of things, just the normal, you know, she looks like a man, these kinds of things being said. That morning I got up, the next morning I got up, and I remember going to Irif Gurdwara, which is a gurdwara near where we live, and there was a gyani there, a priest, and he was really, really lovely, and not like a normal kind of gyani that you usually get. He had a really, very deep love For the Sangha than Sikhi, and more so than normal. And I really felt quite connected to him.
That wasn't just a job for him.
Yeah, it was more than that, because he had real love for Gitan as well. And anyway, so I went and saw him and I said, can I speak to you? And I said to him, I really want to wear Gearski with my parents. And he was like, this is a good thing. I remember him saying, this is a good thing. Why are you crying? And I said, because my mum and dad won't let me. And he had to go to someone's house to go and do a bath. But he said to me, just keep wearing it. And just do Ardas, which is that, do a supplication, do a prayer to God wholeheartedly, and just ask God to guide you and help you. And yeah, it just didn't really seem that hard after that. But that was a really, really big challenge.
So what were some of the other kind of long-term challenges? Because those are initial challenges that you had, but maybe sort of long-term as you've spent more time in your faith and on your journey.
I think one of the big ones has been hair. So body hair and facial hair, because I have PCOS. So after I had my first child, as soon as I stopped breastfeeding, my hormones just literally just went crazy, and I just had got a lot of facial hair. But you know, that has been a big challenge, and I really speak quite openly about that. I've spoken about that at camps and on Manvi Singh's blog as well. And the other one is, which is the ongoing challenge of the internal change, having good thoughts, you know, trying to be a good person, battling the five evils, and things like that. But, you know, I don't really want to talk too much about that today, because, you know, we're going to cover that on another show. But what about yourself?
So with challenges as well, immediately was the kind of physical aspect of things changing and growing a beard. I remember, like, at night it used to, like, really itch and stuff like
that. Did you expect your beard to grow as long as it is? Because how long is it? It's like down to your tummy, isn't it?
Three fists, I'd say. three fistful.
That's hilarious.
I've got that t-shirt as well that I need to pull out, where it goes down to what level I'm at as well.
Oh yeah,
godly level. We'll see if we get there. I'll share that at one point. But yeah, that was a bit of a challenge at first, and then having to, like, tie a turban and things like that, learning how to do that, and just the immediate physical change as well. And also around that time as well, unfortunately, was a lot of terror incidents happening around the world, especially in London. And because I'd immediately, my image had changed, I'd become a bit more aware of that as well. And that was something I wasn't used to at all. And so dealing with that and being confident about that new image that I had.
Did you ever have to say to somebody, you know, did anybody ever come up to you and say, like, you know, you're like a Muslim, you're a terrorist, or anything like
that? No, I mean, it's the usual, isn't it? Like, a group of, you know, normally youngsters probably just shouting something out. It's very rare that someone's got the courage to come up and really question you.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously there are people that genuinely ask,
yeah,
you know, what are you all about and things like that.
And I think you're always been really, really kind of friendly and welcome.
I think we have to be, don't we? We have to be like an open book.
And I love how the, you know, Basics of Sikhi, they've got those badges, because Mansimra wears it, doesn't she? It says, ask me about my turban.
Which is great now, but, you know, back then there wasn't really any of that. That's why we're quite fortunate now, because we've got so much out there now.
And what about some of the, like, you know, you're asking me about long-term, in, you know, kind of challenges that you had.
Again, similar to you as well, once you've kind of become comfortable with the immediate physical image, it's about looking at what's inside and things like that. But for me, it's been when you're at the Gurdwara, you're around people that are doing exactly the same thing as you, they've got the same objectives of you, you really feel the energy from them. It's a lot easier to practice your faith around those people. But when you're on your own and you're sitting in a room by yourself and you're trying to find that connection, that is something I still deal with on a daily basis. And that's still a challenge. And you're going to know this as well, that consistency is also a problem with me. Sometimes I'm flying, and other times I'm struggling to
it's like peaks and troughs, isn't it?
Exactly, with the basics. And also one of the biggest things for me is laziness, and it has been for a long time. And it's becoming aware of it and knowing that you're like that and not falling into those kind of, you know,
traps.
Yeah, routines that where you're lazy. So you need to, even if you're doing really well, you need to know that this is, you know, part of who you have been. So you need to try to, you know, when you can easily fall back into that, and before you know it, your routine is kind of gone. So you need to just be aware of that. So that's something that I'm continuously like focusing on, that this could come. So I try to try my best to stay as consistent as I can and be aware that I can become lazy at times.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So before we, you know, come to an end, can you name one thing that you, that you, how you, what you would describe is the beauty of Sikhi to you?
I'd have to say the name of God. So I'd have to say Naam, which we say is Vaheguru, because from that is everything. But how we have it normally is that we just talk about just saying that word. We don't actually realize saying that word connects us to everything. And this is something that took me a long time to realize, that God is actually so close by to us and is present in everything and is connected to everything, that when you're out and about, that's why I love walking in nature now. I love just looking at God's creation, the sky, the trees, the water, everything. I just love it. And you know, I never used to be an outgoing person.
No.
But now I just feel so connected there, because that those things are connected.
Yeah.
So you're around them, like I was mentioning before, when you're around people that are connected, like you just feel that beauty of it. How about yourself?
If I was to mention something different, I'd probably say seva. The beauty of seva, you know, to, but you know, I don't really think that I've mastered, I don't know if we can, but I've not been able to master seva, because I think to be able to master doing seva the way Guruji did seva, say like Guru Amar Das Ji, the third Guru, who done an immense amount of seva, you need to be humble, and you need to be able to be completely imbued in that kind of selfless service seva. So, but I do enjoy
it. We're quite fortunate because we can be quite creative with seva as well now.
Yeah,
we've got so much out there that we can do. It's not just confined to four walls.
Yeah, but I love seva. And I remember once you kind of described, you said to me, if Sikhi was a table, you'd have, I don't even remember you ever saying this to me. Do you remember saying this? But if Sikhi was a table, you, one leg is seva, one leg is sangat, one leg is Naam, Amrit Vela, and what was the other one? I can't even remember. But I remember you said it a long time ago, seva. And
the main one that we're talking
yeah,
about.
And, yeah, and so I always think to myself, if I haven't got all these others, you know, I need to have all the others to hold the table up. But if I can just have one table leg.
Someone once said to me as well, though, that if we're, you know, we have that common question, I'm not doing too well with my spirituality, that we need to look at those things and say, how am I doing in this section? How am I doing in that section? When we'll normally find we're lacking somewhere.
Yeah.
And therefore we need to address that. But that's quite a good analogy to use.
Yeah. So that's, did you have anything else to add for our, anything else to add?
I really enjoyed
me too. This
talking.
And it's really nice because we don't really get this much time to talk, you know, on this kind of level without
this is class kids. This is class as alone time for us,
yeah, isn't it? With all you guys listening, yeah. But that's beautiful and I'm really appreciating it. But so next week, what are we going to be talking about next week?
We're going to be talking about, you're sitting in the hot seat, so you can decide. By the way, everyone, we're just mentioning it now, I'm sitting in the guest seat at the moment. Sikh Mum is sitting in the boss's chair.
And that's how it should be.
Well, we'll see next week. Hopefully you guys can make enough noise to make sure I sit in the boss's seat next week.
Next week we're going to be talking about our Nandgarage.
Our marriage.
And our marriage.
Because that is obviously a key part of us and how we are, where we are today.
Yeah, and so we hope you join us, and please subscribe and tell other people as well. And if there's anything you want us to talk about on our podcast, we're going to see how long we can keep this going for. As long as you guys are listening, as long as you guys are engaging with us, we're going to keep it going and taking the time out to do it. But if there's anything particular you want us to cover, please do contact us.
Any feedback or any comments or anything, where, because there's loads of people out there, you guys doing podcasts, and if you've got any tips for us.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
And I know someone's going to turn around and say, stop saying We say a lot, don't we?
Everybody says
I know, but I say a lot
Everybody says
I say it more than normal.
Even professionals on TV say all the time.
Do they?
But they get away with it because they're famous.
Okay. That's fine then. But I also say basically a lot. What do you do? Do you have a word you say?
Absolutely now. I say absolutely, and I say reality a lot. In reality.
In reality, yeah. Okay, so thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
And good night, everybody in the UK.
Take care. Waigurjika kalsa. Waigurjiki fate.